Return to Camp Blood, Episode 20. Trapped in a barn, surrounded by Roy, low on gas. This episode is brought to you by FridayThe13thFranchise.com. Be sure to head over there for up-to-the-minute news about anything and everything Friday-related. And by Scarefest 8. Go over to ScarefestCon.com for convention dates and ticketing information.
Scarefest, the largest horror and paranormal convention in the United States, returns to the Lexington Center, September 11th through the 13th. Meet over 80 of your favorite horror and paranormal celebrities. Plus, there's a costume ball, seminars, movie screenings, and lots of scary merchandise. For more info, visit thescarefest.com. Scarefest, September 11th through the 13th at the Lexington Center. Be brave if you dare, but don't come alone.
Welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood. I'm your host, Chris, joined by my fellow counselors, E.
What's going on, people?
Eric.
What's up, y'all?
And Oz.
How's it going, everybody?
All right, so tonight we have another very special guest. Please welcome Friday the 13th Part 5's final girl, Pam, and the girlfriend of Reggie the Reckless herself, Melanie Kinneman. How's it going tonight, Melanie?
Great. Hi, everybody. Reggie the Reckless girlfriend. Wow.
that's what he said to Demon.
Yeah, that's
how wow. I hit the big time there.
Yes, she did.
So, how was it that you landed the part of Pam in the New Beginning?
Well, I guess it's like every actor's story. It's a series of interviews and then auditions and meeting the director and meeting the producers, and it's an ongoing process. For me, it went pretty quickly. They saw me just a few times and then brought me back to do a final scene for Frank Mancuso and Danny Steinman. And when I did the scene, I had a good feeling, but, you know, they don't tell you there. So I left and I got a phone call that evening that I'd gotten a role. But they said, don't tell anybody because we really shouldn't be calling you at night. We have to call your agent tomorrow morning. So, you know, just keep it quiet and we'll tell you. And so when your agent calls you tomorrow morning, you act surprised. I said, okay.
So did you know that it was a Friday the 13th Part 5? Because I know in some of the previous movies that some of the actors, they had auditioned for roles, but they didn't find out until they actually showed up to start filming that, hey, this is a Friday the 13th movie.
Yeah, most of the people, that was the case for them. For me, they told me, I believe by the second an audition, I knew. But I had never seen a Friday the 13th, so I really didn't know what that meant. I mean, I knew the franchise, but I hadn't seen any of the priors, so after I got cast, I quickly ran out and saw Part 4, so I knew what I was going into.
I have another question. Your name in the Part 5 is Pam Roberts. And I just had a question because I know that you filmed Best of the Best with Eric Roberts, and you played his love interest. Was that because of that by any chance, or with the last name Roberts, or was it a coincidence?
I'm sure it was a coincidence. I mean, they paid attention to the fact that I had done that. You know, I mean, they look at your credits, but I don't think they really even thought about it.
Gotcha.
I think the script was written long before they ever met me. You know, at least the basic script, I'm sure they changed things around as time went on. I have a feeling they were writing it as we were shooting.
that tends to be the case in a lot of these.
But that's just me. I think things were changing as, you know, I mean, I did read the whole script prior to going on the set, but I would get new pages, as they call it. You know, I'd get new lines and pages when I walked in there that day to shoot. A few hours later, they said, well, this has changed and that's changed. So I kind of had to learn it on the spot. But for the most part, they stayed true to the original script that I read.
One thing I wanted to ask, just looking at, you know, what you've done, I mean, it's not really, for the most part, any other horror movies. And
right.
Is that like, how was that as far as, was that being such a departure from the roles that you were in previously? I mean, was that like a, you know, a difficult thing to adjust to as far as, you know, filming a horror movie?
Yeah, it was a huge departure because I started out in theater, so I was doing very dramatic stuff and some musicals and things like that. So, and then, of course, prior to Friday the 13th, I had done Thunder Alley and other films. But this was the first horror movie. And, you know, I entered into it like you do any acting thing. It's a role. So you're into the character and you're studying the character. So I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to what I was going to be experiencing, like the violence and blood and all that stuff. I kept that in the back burner until they brought me on there for that particular scene and had to do it and had to face it. So preparing for it, I didn't let myself get too involved with what was going to be coming in my face, if you know what I mean.
Right. Got to say you did a really good
job. I don't think you can ever prepare for that, you know. And it's probably better that you don't because it's fresh. Even though you're doing probably 20 takes for one scene. I was lucky. A lot of the scenes I pretty nailed it in one or two takes. But there were some things that there was a lot of takes, and that's tough to keep it, you know, brand new when you've done it 20 times.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So going off that idea, what was the most difficult scene for you to shoot?
It's interesting because this will surprise you. It was the simplest scene. It was the one, the top of the film, that I walk out and greet Tommy Jarvis. I can't even explain. Just walking out of that, you know, walking down the thing and down the sidewalk and going to the van, I think we did more takes on that than anything. Some of it was a technical problem. Yeah, some was the door wasn't opening, you know, things like that. The lighting was off, but it was difficult to do. And I really can't explain why. It was uncomfortable because I had worked myself up so much to meeting this crazy kid. So that was a difficult scene for me. The second most difficult, again, will be a surprise, is the one in the office with Matt, and we're discussing the new inmate, Tommy.
Hmm.
And yeah, it's the two of us in the office. That was a difficult scene.
Wow. I would have thought maybe wielding that chainsaw.
Yeah. Well, that was very hard. But remember, now I'm further into the film. I've now worked maybe about 3-4 weeks. So that was a difficult scene for other reasons. The chainsaw was surprisingly heavy. There were some technical issues with it. It was pouring rain. I was afraid I was going to get an electrical shock. I thought, and it was Halloween. I said, I'm going to die tonight. I know I'm going to die on this set. It's Halloween. It's raining. It's fake rain, by the way. And they're throwing buckets of water on me, and this thing is going to short out. And I'm going to die here. I'm going to die on the set.
Went in with the optimism on blast, huh?
Oh, my God. But even that, as hard as that scene was, and it was hard for a lot of other reasons, just because I was trying not to laugh so hard, because I'm hiding in that closet, you know, the barn thing, and I'm supposed to kick the door open. And the door kept getting stuck. So then that fun. By the time I get out of the door, I'm laughing and they're yelling, cut, you know.
Then that's one of my favorite scenes of the movie.
Oh, my God. Then the chainsaw won't start and I'm laughing. The director yells, cut, you know. So it was amazing that we got that one big final shot of that. It was seamless. It just started and shot all the way from that sequence, and there was no cut in between, so we had to get it right. So we did a lot of choreography on that. I worked with Tom Morga because he said, look, you know, you're throwing this chainsaw at me, and it's on, so I don't want to lose an arm here. So let's practice what we're going to do. He didn't trust me at all with that thing.
Well, they can be unpredictable when you know, launch them at someone.
Oh, no. I figure you just throw this thing and let it fall where it may, but Tom was not keen to that, so.
Yeah, nor would I be.
That thing was heavy. I don't even know how I lifted it and threw it, but,
did a great job.
Absolutely.
It worked out okay in the end, huh?
Right.
Oh yeah, look, right. that's a phenomenal final chase and fight with Jason. Well, imposter Jason.
Yeah. Hey, to me he was Jason. You know what I mean? To me he was Jason. I had no Jason prior to that. It's the only Jason I had. Who knew it was some freak in a, you know. I thought it was a real deal.
Well, so we discussed the most difficult scene. Which one was your favorite to shoot?
My favorite, and it was also one of the hardest things I did, just because I was running in from the rain. I slammed the door. I'm alone. And now I have to act and respond to things that aren't there that are going to be put in later. The only thing that was there was Grandpa flying through the window. Do you remember that?
Ah, yeah.
So I run the house, that's the end of the chase scene, and I'm in the house alone, and I'm looking, screaming Reggie's name, and I'm backing through to the house, and then the window crashes and his body comes through. That was the only thing that was really there. Everything else was me alone. So that was difficult, but it's my favorite scene because it was the most fun to do. There were no lines, but there was so much for me to do as an actor in there. In that whole space. And so that's my favorite scene, because as hard as it was the most fun for me as an actor. Most fun. I could have done 5 of those. It was so much fun.
So you as an actor, you didn't know, John Shepherd, after you and Reggie went to visit Demon, his brother, and right. John Shepherd gets in the fight with Junior, and then he disappears. So do you know at that time, I mean, if Tommy's, when you get back, if Tommy's the one that had done everything, or?
No. No. I always went on the assumption the director had written it for me that Tommy was never the guy doing all the things that were happening. That I was actually concerned about his whereabouts and his safety, as I was for all the other kids in the house, who obviously we know were dropping like flies. Everyone was getting killed. But no, I was concerned about, Pam Roberts was concerned about his well-being.
So originally you were set to reprise the role of Pam for part 6, but the studio changed the story. And we'd always been kind of wondering, like, what if you knew anything about what the next movie was supposed to be about?
Well, all I knew was, yeah, the original idea was that Tommy was going to become the new killer. And my part was to come back on and try to save him from his evil ways. I don't know how long I would have lived through that. You know, I don't know what their plan was, because they weren't certainly going to tell me. The plan was that it was John Shepherd and I were signed to do the next one. And the major premise was that he was becoming a new killer, and I was there to try to help him with his mental issues.
and that sort of seems like how it's built up to go for the next installment. But since
it
they didn't go
good.
That, I think it would have been great. I've always wanted to see that.
Yeah, I don't know why they went. Like I said, they didn't tell me. What I had heard was John didn't want to do the next film, that he didn't like, you know, I don't want to speak for him, but I had heard secondhand that he did not like the process and part 5, you know, just the whole horror situation, you know.
He did a great job.
Yes, he was great. He didn't think it was a positive image.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about on our part 5 episode that, you know, he even though he only had, I think, like 24 lines or whatever, I mean, but he acted so much like you would expect someone who had gone through that ordeal and had been that disturbed by what he had endured.
Yeah.
I mean, it really resonates with the viewer. You feel his pain and his struggle to like hold on to, you know, his sanity.
And I think John was great.
Yeah, he was. I think he really was.
I think he was the best Tommy, but I'm partial, you know. But I think he did an incredible job. Like you said, he didn't have that many lines, but it didn't matter, because it's all in the behavior,
right,
of the character. You know, you can tell a whole story without speaking.
Yeah, I thought the juxtaposition between Tommy's bad mental state and you portrayed it having a very caring demeanor, which was, I mean, for your position in the role, but sounds like that you didn't have to act much. And that just played so well together. That was just awesome.
Well, he was fun to work with because he was good, you know, and Marco St. John played the sheriff. He was great to work with. There were quite a few people that I got to work with that I really enjoyed seeing, you know.
Yeah, Ethel's always been a fan favorite from that that movie. Yeah. She's hysterical.
She was a lot of fun. She's also great. And I loved Ron Sloan, who played Junior.
He was just a
great guy in general, but a really good actor to work with, you know.
So going from that, do you have any any possibly like funny or entertaining anecdotes from like maybe some mishaps or whatever from being on set? Anything? Any funny stories or anything like that that you could share with us?
Well, there were so many things that, you know, like I said, that chainsaw scene, it was so hard to get through without laughing because so many things went wrong, you know. And the other scene that was funny, but it's kind of an inside joke with me and the stunt coordinator and the makeup artist, was I have to climb up a ladder in the barn. I'm going up there to hide. And, it's after the chainsaw thing, and I'm running for the ladder. Well, they decided they wanted a stunt girl to do, you know, that. I said, I can do it, which I ended up doing it, by the way. That was me going up there. But anyway, so they bring in a couple girls. The one girl that they did pick to do it was fine. But prior to that, they said, we're going to bring somebody in. And I just said, kind of kiddingly, no, actually, the truth is I was serious. I said to the stunt guy and the makeup artist, I hope she doesn't have a giant ass. Because I don't want people to think that's my ass going up the ladder. Now, I know it's kind of a bad thing to say, but I meant it. So, but I didn't say it out loud for her to hear. So all of a sudden she's gone. They bring in, I think her name is Debbie. She's actually a great stunt girl. And they brought her in and they had her doing it and she had a good body. So I was fine with that. But anyway, after all of that and wasting an hour on that, I end up doing it myself. So there you go. But, there are a few people that know about that line. They kind of throw it in my face about, if I don't want that girl with the fat ass, go up the stairs. Terrible. But, yeah, I'm admitting it. He didn't ask me that in Crystal Lake Memories, thank God, because I probably could have said that on camera. That would have been terrible. I said some other things in Crystal Lake Memories that luckily got cut. But, because I went to do that, ready to tell the story because I had never done a documentary. So I was prepared. So, I said a lot of stuff and thankfully a lot of it, they were afraid to print. So
there's nothing wrong with being vain about a dancer's derriere.
There you go. That's what I thought. And especially since it's a stunt, that isn't a big deal I can do. It's not like I'm swinging from the ceiling or something. So,
what have you been up to since then? Or, you know, what are you doing now, actually?
Well, this past year, I did four short films, and hopefully one of them will be produced to a full-length feature, which would be great. But it's so much fun doing these shorts because you get to work with some great people, great projects, not all of them, only two of them were horror. And I did one with Tom Sizemore, who I think is a great actor, so that was very interesting to work with him. And that one is possibly going to go to full-length feature, so that'll be great. Also, I've been flying back and forth to New York. They've been flying me in to audition for a show there, and that would be great to get that. I go back again on August 11th for, I believe it's a final audition. So I have my fingers crossed on that. And that's it. You know, I've been keeping busy doing that. I'm also occasionally doing appearances at conventions, so some of the fans out there get a chance to, we get the chance to sit and talk and all that, and that's fun.
I'm patiently waiting to see, one of the conventions in my proximity that I can travel to get you there. So, I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you in person yet.
Where are you guys? Are you in the East Coast?
I'm in the Cincinnati area, so I kind of go, you know, Lexington, Louisville, Indianapolis, Chicago. I'll go, you know, kind of in, I guess, Midwest kind of area whenever they have conventions here.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only place I haven't done. I haven't done the Midwest. I haven't done the South either.
So well, hopefully, you missed us
hopefully we get you there.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be next.
So prior to you getting the role as Pam Roberts, you watched part four and was and that was the only Friday you had seen.
Yes.
And wow, because I mean there's elements in there that really pop out with the other two final girls.
Really?
Yeah, it shows through, and that's just amazing.
There's a lot of similarities between Pam and I would say Trish, because she, you know, they both had, you know, Trish had Tommy that she was trying to take care of, and then Pam was trying to also try to make sure that Reggie made it through that too. So I think there was a lot of similarities, and the and even in the final chase scene, you know, the rain and the running back and forth, there's a lot of similarities in the final chase scene from 4 to 5 too.
Yes, and they sure like to, they love to use rain. They just love that rain.
Yeah,
cold and rain.
Cold, it has to be cold.
Well, all right, Melanie, we're not going to take up too much more of your time. We really appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
Thank you so much.
Great to talk to you all. And hopefully I'll meet at least, well, I'd like to meet all of you at some point, somewhere in America.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. As always, you can support the show by rating us on iTunes, Stitcher, or however else you listen to the show. If you want to support us financially, check out campbloodpodcast.com/donate for options. If you want to ask us a question or vindicate a theory you might have, you can contact the show by sending an email to feedback@campbloodpodcast.com. You can also text or leave us a voicemail at 757-637-0216. Until next time.
But Camp Blood, ain't you? Never come back again. It's got a death curse.
Return to Camp Blood is a proud member of the Tangent Bound Network.